Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all you wonderful, wonderful F1 fans, not just here in the home of F101 Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but from around the world. If you're hearing my voice, it can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. Welcome back to part two of Year in Review. I know it's been a few weeks since the last one. I just want to make sure that we're not missing on any really, really important information, release dates, or anything of that nature. We left off at number six. Obviously, let's hop right into it. The number five team in the Constructors' Championships, Team Aston Martin, Aramco, Mercedes, drivers Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso, a grand total of 96 points. Yeah, what can I say? It's a team that could, but did not. And I think there's one major reason for the 2024 space they were in. Top five, not a bad place to be realistically, but can they do a lot more? Yeah, absolutely. They can. They have the potential to be a top four team in 2024. Now, I'm not just saying that because now they have Adrian Newey for the 2025 season and moving forward, but they had a really good basis car. They had the right aerodynamic capabilities for the majority of the season. The only thing that I mean, they started off with promise. They couldn't capitalize with their last couple of updates. And the couple of aerodynamic updates they did do kind of put them behind in a hole. Actually, it didn't kind of. It really did put them behind in a hole. They got this idea. They're going to follow Ferrari. They're going to follow a little bit of Red Bull. I mean, it's not a bad idea. They were headed in the right direction. It's the right mindset. Just for how they have the car set up for them in 2024, it did not work for them. It actually set them behind. Now, this was not halfway through the season. This was probably in the first five races of the season. And essentially, it took them a whole year to recover. By the time the season was over, they did recover the majority of those spots, looking really, really promising for the 2025 season, just before the rules and regulations reset for 2026. Now, point-wise, Fernando Alonso, out of the 24 races they got, Fernando Alonso, 14 races with points, Lance Stroll, only six. The big issue with this team, and everybody knows it, everybody has kind of said it, the professionals won't because of the not dire consequences of it, but Lance Stroll needs to go. 100% he needs to go. He is a waste of space. Now, does Lawrence Stroll really believe in his son that much? Obviously, he must. Otherwise, he wouldn't have backed him for so long as he did. But at this point, do you think the only reason why he has a seat is because he feels bad for his son, that maybe no one else will take him? Or is Lance Stroll right now just a seat filler until someone else better comes along to replace him? Now, we're going to get that into the outlook for the 2025 season, but keep that idea in mind. With only one driver in the 24 season, it was hard for Aston Martin to keep track and keep up with everybody else in general. Now, they did outscore the people that they really definitely were supposed to. They did outscore Haas. They outscored Alpine, Williams. I think the only threat coming into the season that they could have foreseen that really didn't turn out to be much of a threat at all was Team RB, was the Cash App Bulls. They just kind of dropped off nowhere. And Aston Martin was kind of in that spot where they're in the middle of nowhere. Their closest rivals after that, the team ahead of them was Mercedes, and they had over 400 points. So Aston Martin definitely had a spot too. They could essentially fuck around and find out. They could try new things on the car, and it wasn't going to be detrimental to their standings just because they had Fernando Alonso and his broad shoulders carrying the team essentially. That puts them in a really good developmental cycle for the 25 season. And again, this was before they got Adrian Newey. Now, from what they've learned for the 24, moving into the 25, it's just going to make Adrian's job essentially that much easier for them. Super consistent when it came to actually finishing races for both drivers. The team itself, really good aerodynamic capabilities in the future. Like I said, there was no issues with the actual car itself. Not a lot of breakdowns, not a whole lot of crashes, which was nice for them. It kept them in a very, very comfortable spot. Not a whole lot more to say about Aston Martin. They're actually in a pretty good spot moving forward. They need to learn from their mistakes, They just need to trust Adrian as he comes in for the 25 season for the aerodynamic portion of it. They need to listen to him as well when it comes to driver strategy, ideas, all that kind of stuff. They brought him in for a very specific reason. 2025 outlook. So Adrian knew he's coming in. He only has 1 year to bring this team above fifth place before the rules and regulations reset. For the standings in 2025, initially I had them written down from between fifth and seventh spot. I am going to go five or higher. So probably fourth or fifth in the constructors this year, just because Adrian's had all this time to look at the car and he does wonders with teams that he comes in on. So I'm going to say fourth or fifth in the constructors championship. They need to find a new direction when it comes to the drivers. Fernando Alonso needs some help. He needs, not that he needs a next step in performance, he just needs to find that nice, comfortable capability, stay consistent in the car, stay reliable with the car, have faith in the car, and he will do just fine. Lance Stroll needs to pull his head out of his ass. And the reason why I say for that is he needs to do better. He needs to score more than six drivers, like six races with points. He needs to be in that double digit as well. And I'm not saying like 10 or 11. Both of them need to score at least points, at least in 14 of the next 24 races in 2025 season for them to keep their fifth spot, in my opinion. Everybody else has realized what they need to do for the 25 season. They're going to catch up. It's going to be a very unpredictable season with all the new rookies coming in. It's a very unpredictable reason for or unpredictable season for the rest of the veteran drivers where they have ended up. Aston Martin needs to take what they've learned for 24, apply it for 25, and keep their heads down and just do what they're doing best at the end of the season. Stay on that upward trajectory, and they will be fine. Now, the only thing that could throw a monkey wrench into any of these kind of ideas and strategies is that it has been very well reported, not only in Aston Martin, but throughout Red Bull as well, that this is potentially Max Verstappen's last year in Red Bull. Now, the only reason why this is actually even a little bit legitimate is that for the 2026 season and on, Red Bull is ditching Honda and they're moving to the Ford powertrain, which has not been tested in many a year in Formula One. And not only that, Aston Martin will no longer be a Mercedes brand. They will be Red Bull. And then on top of that, Adrian Newey, they get together really well. Adrian and Max work together fantastically. I think this is going to be the year. Last year for Max at Red Bull. Then the question is, in Aston Martin, who do you get rid of? Do you keep Fernando Alonso? Do you get rid of Lance Stroll? In my opinion, it's not exactly a hard development question. You need to get rid of Lance Stroll because it's too good of an opportunity to pass up the team of Fernando Alonso and Max Verstappen in an Aston Martin. You can't fuck that up by keeping the owner's kids in his seat. You can't do it. You got to think of the team. And I think Lawrence Stroll will realize that. And he's going to think more about the business than family connections. Moving on, number four, Team Mercedes. Number 4 points in the Constructors' Championship, 468 points. Drivers, George Russell, Lewis Hamilton. I mean, they were so consistent in this season. Last season, they only had one race with no points. So that is the kind of consistency that Mercedes needs from here on out. They placed fourth. Now, their closest competitor was over 100 points past them for third. This is how consistent they need to be. This is how welcome to the big boy competition when it comes to points and keeping up with them. They need more consistency throughout the year. A season of struggle for Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes. They tried some things. It didn't work out specifically for Lewis Hamilton. Some people thought that he was going to kind of dog it for his last year in Mercedes. It just ended up being really bad development, and the finer points of his car just weren't exactly to his liking. They had to move the seat back again. They needed to tweak the side pods again. He didn't like how it was steering. It was just a bunch of mechanical issues that they really didn't anticipate. They thought they could just kind of skate through for him, just because they weren't really necessarily developing the car the last half of the season for Lewis Hamilton for the 25 season. Obviously, we know he's off to Ferrari. Kimi Antonelli is in for Mercedes in 2025. So it was kind of in a gray area for Lewis Hamilton for the development of that car. You want to develop it enough where it's competitive, but you don't want to develop it too much where it's a customizable car for him in the next season where he's not going to be there. So I think the upgrades they put on his car were very useful, but I just don't think it was useful enough just because they didn't want to give him too much of something that he wasn't going to use in the next season. This was the year where George Russell really had to show what kind of leadership skills he has. He is officially taking over the team as the number one driver for the 25 season. The 24 season for him, it showed that he could take control of the team if he paid attention and stayed out of the drama that was on the track. George Russell, he's the golden boy of Mercedes. He's the prim and proper English driver. He also gets sucked into the dumbest shit possible on the track and off when it comes to drama, and it distracts him from what he needs to do. The best example of that is the new quote-unquote rivalry between Max Verstappen and George Russell. I don't think it's a rivalry. I think it's Max fucking with George because he knows he can, because it distracts him from his drive. Sometimes it comes back to bite him in the ass, where George really just, he puts his nose to the grindstone, he listens to his engineers, and he does the possible best that he can. He will outdrive Max, call it half the time, maybe at best, depending on what Red Bull does with their car. The other half, it's like he gets his prim and proper nose all out of shape. Like, you can't do that to me. I'm George Russell. I'm the poster boy. I represent the drivers in the drivers union and all this kind of shit. And nobody cares. All you did was listen to him whine, bitch, and complain about things that happened to him during the race. Now, is this the sign of a good leader, or is this somebody figuring out the pressures of being a leader? I think it's a 50-50 split on this one. In the off season, he has to realize that he can't react to every small thing that happens on the track. You need to remember that you are the number one driver in Mercedes. You are officially the leader of the drivers in Mercedes. People are going to follow your lead, especially when you get a new rookie on your team. If you whine, bitch, and complain, it takes away from the race. It takes you out of concentrating for the race, and it's more detrimental than you getting your way. And on top of that, if you start to complain for every little thing, you're not going to get the respect of the drivers. You need a certain respect, even from your opponents, no matter what sport you play, whether it's Formula One, gymnastics, American football, European football, rugby, hockey, doesn't matter. You always have to keep a certain level of respect for your opponents because you need to keep each other safe no matter the sport you're playing. And if you whine and complain too much, no one's going to take him seriously. They're going to start taking liberties on him, and he's going to lose the respect of every single driver out there, which is never a good thing for the momentum of the team and the mental confidence of that driver. Last race of 2024, Lewis Hamilton fourth, George Russell fifth. It was a really good final showing for Mercedes. It showed that the team was still in a cohesive agreement, that there is harmony amongst the drivers, and that Mercedes is definitely here to stay. Even though that they are losing their number one, and in my opinion, the best driver Mercedes will ever have, the team didn't splinter. It didn't fall apart. It was just nothing but teamwork from beginning to end, which brought in a lot of momentum for Mercedes into the 2025 season. They just need to keep that momentum and that mindset moving in to next season, where we got a bunch of question marks coming in. The outlook for 2025 for Mercedes, Kimi Antonelli is to join. It's not that he's a massive question mark. He just doesn't have as much experience in Formula One as the rest of the rookies have when they had their reserve driver role. So we don't really know what Antonelli will be able to do. The only thing that I can see, I mean, how will Antonelli, it's a massive, massive question mark. And now there's massive pressure on Antonelli to perform because it was announced that Mercedes has brought back Valtteri Bottas as their reserve driver for 2025. So that means a couple of things. We know that Valtteri Bottas is a team player through and through. You know he knows Mercedes from top to bottom through and through, and he doesn't have an issue helping out. But it also brings up two massive question marks. If Antonelli doesn't drive the way Mercedes needs him to, they can easily swap him out for Bottas. Bottas, I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He drove last year, the year before. He's never missed a season, so he will be up to speed with what the new cars can do to a certain extent. He will learn what Mercedes has done, but I'm sure he's caught up on that already. And two, it may throw a little bit of shadow on the confidence they have on George Russell. You are the number one leader, but we're going to bring back Valtteri Bottas just in case you shit the bed. Or just in case either of you shit the bed. Like, it's a very It's a very in-your-face play, which is what I like about Toto Wolff. He's not mincing words. If you guys screw up, here is your replacement, and he knows what he's doing. Now, this would also be one hell of a way for the potential last year of Toto Wolff at Mercedes as well. There has been rumors that he's not leaving the team as it were as a whole. He just won't be at the races anymore. He's going to kind of retire and do more of the back office type things. Now, that's just massive speculation. We haven't heard one way or the other. Generally, when it comes to Toto Wolff, he has his intentions stated before the beginning of the year, and we're just a couple of days away from the actual release of the first car. But we'll get into that later. I hope Toto Wolff stays around for at least another season or two just to kind of help them along in the new direction that they're getting into. Predictions on where Mercedes will end up in the 25 season, because just of the massive question mark of Antonelli and because of the question of can Russell actually lead the team, I have them not in the top four for the 25 constructors. I have them in the top five. I'm going to place them anywhere between fifth and seventh just because it could be a massive learning year for them. And at some point, they're going to turn their attention to the 26 car and not the 25 car. So it's going to be very, very, very interesting to see where they end up. Moving on, third team, that is Red Bull Racing Honda. 589 points. The drivers, Max Verstappen, Checo Perez. I mean, big start, small finish is essentially how this year is wrapped up for them. Reigning champions, long live the king. The king is dead. Long live the king. The three-time champions in a row. That's going to be it. They. What was the issue? Age is a couple of things, and I'd hate to place it all on one person or the departure of one person, but it shows how important Adrian Newey is to any team that he's at. Red Bull leaned on him so much for development that when he decided to take his leave, he took his seasonal gardening leave to go to Aston Martin, that Red Bull just kind of ran with his ideas until they didn't have any more of their own. And you could see that development throughout the season. They're going whole hog. They're winning races, big starts. Perez wasn't sucking as much as he did by the end of the season, but then when Adrian Newey left and they had to rely on their own tweaks and modifications for those kind of development for the rest of the season, you saw them get slower and slower and slower and slower and slower until they ended up being third in the championship by the end of the season. Now, were they comfortable in their third? Yeah, they were over 100 points ahead of Mercedes, and I do believe they were something like almost 100 points behind number two. So again, they're kind of like the Aston Martin. They're not really damned if they do and damned if they don't. They've got some room to experiment, and you could see they were experimenting with the aerodynamics of the car for the 25 season. But yeah, it was not exactly the way you want your season to end, going from first to third. As always, Max Verstappen, he was a one-man wrecking crew. His shoulders were as wide as Fernando Alonso's, if not bigger, when it comes to the you are carrying your team essentially by yourself. Checo Perez was absolutely fucking useless. He got a new contract signed, which should give him confidence, but as anybody can see who's watched a lot of sports over the years, there's always that contract hangover. You don't always necessarily kill it the first year back with a new contract. Unfortunately, normally there's a little bit more time for these athletes to do that. In this case, there was not. Checo Perez will not be returning as a driver for the 2025 season. They did buy out his contract, and they don't seem to be upset about the price tag about that either. It was just one of those years, to sum up 2025 for Red Bull, where we're going to see how a championship team does when a lot of things go wrong in the same season. Something like you only have one actual useful driver. You're losing your head engineer or aerodynamic technician. So then you've got bad aerodynamic development for essentially three quarters of the season. You had a bunch of senior staff leaving as well. You drop from first to third, and they saw it coming, essentially. A bunch of team drama between the driver's dad and one of the, between the driver's dad, Verstappen's dad, and the CEO and the engineers, and just everybody getting in everybody's way for absolutely no reason. Anything that could go bad kind of did go for them, and the only bright spot was Max Verstappen getting those points and making sure the car at least stayed where it needed to be. It was 5 weeks of being on the back foot of bad development. By the end of the season, they were heading in the proper direction. They were they were getting a little bit more comfortable. They were able to secure the third spot by, like I said, that 100 points, nowhere near Ferrari in second. But I think it was at least a good way to end the season for Red Bull. Max ended up winning the Drivers' Championship again. And the team, a little bit wounded for the end of the 24 season, moving into 25. A lot of things to learn, a lot of things to improve upon, and a couple of big question marks coming into the 25 season as well. 2025 outlook. Perez is gone. Massive check mark for me. I'm happy that he's finally gone. Liam Lawson comes in. I think it's a very positive choice for Red Bull to bring in Liam Lawson. He's proved himself. He's got a really good development track record. He is the perfect wingman in Red Bull. He wants to learn. He wants to help out. At the same time, he can take opportunities when they're given to him, but he also listens to team orders if he needs to switch directions with or switch positions with Max, or if he needs to guard Max because he's the driver behind, anything like that. He will do the team orders. But at the same time, it also brings up question marks of how he will do in Red Bull. Red Bull is not exactly known for being the most patient team in the world. Now, they might have a little bit more patience with Lawson than anybody else just because they have deemed, they've deemed no one else really to be worthy of that second seat. They could have brought up Yuki Tsunoda. They decided to leave him in kind of purgatory in Visa Cash App hell. If Tsunoda didn't earn the spot for the beginning of 25, I don't think he's going to earn the spot at any point in 25 that they'll bring up Isaac Hadjar instead as a replacement or a reserve driver, something along that line. But hopefully Lawson will learn fast enough where he will be useful to Red Bull and they won't kick him to the curb by midseason. 2025 race pace absolutely has to be better for them. Not necessarily just for Max, but for both teams. Max generally had really good race pace. Even on the slower days, he was able to eke out a little bit more speed downforce than Checo Perez was, but they need to even it out between the cars a lot more. And then the big question mark is, when do they stop development of the 25 car and focus more on the 2026 car with the new rules and regulations? Or will they develop the 25 car until the very end of the season just because they feel like they need to rebound from the 24 season where they let it slip away from bad development, leaning on Nui too much, not thinking outside the box for themselves. It's going to be a very, very interesting dynamic in Red Bull, especially for the aerodynamic side. They've got new flexi wings, new flexi wing modifications that they can work around, new guidelines for everybody. So, I mean, we're really going to see what happens with them this year. Moving on, number two, Team Ferrari, points, 652 points. Drivers, Leclerc, Sainz, and Behrman as well. Just Carlos Sainz had an appendicitis. Behrman comes in, one drive, gets points on essentially his Ferrari debut. Fantastic drive for him. No better way to start. How was their season? Well, actually, it was a lot better than most people thought for Ferrari. Ferrari's always been and always has been and always will be a top five team. Now, the only question mark for them is what position in that top five will it be? Will it be on the outskirts in fourth and fifth and just barely in fifth? Or will they be in the top two and dominate kind of out of nowhere? And that's where I believe the 24 season for Ferrari came in. They didn't exactly blow the doors off the building the first quarter of the race. But what they did do right is the small things that no one really paid attention to if they don't go wrong. And that is they got their strategy in line compared to last year and the fucking clowns for the strategists. I mean, it was horrible. Binotto was the worst race engineer. He should not have been on the team, period. They obviously went back. They looked at all the videos through the entire 2023 season. And they figured out what they did wrong. They figured out they needed to listen to the drivers more. They need to let the drivers do majority of the thinking, asking what they think the best situational options are because they're the ones that are out there driving. Only one race with no points this season. It was the Canadian Grand Prix, both of them retirement. So they were super consistent from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. What I was impressed with the most from them in 24 is that when they got to about the last quarter of the season, they knew they were in the hunt for first. And realistically, they didn't finish that far off of first place. But what they did not do is they did not overthink the strategy. They did not overthink the development of the car. Essentially, they did not fumble fuck their way through the end because they were trying too hard. They stayed calm. They stayed organized and they stayed as a team. And that's why they finished in second in this season. For example, their pit stops and team orders were absolutely spot on. There's a couple of spots this season where it was a little bit of a whoopsie, but it wasn't like we're losing multiple spots. It's, hey, it's one extra lap. It's maybe two extra laps. 90% improvement on that. Again, strategy was 10,000 times better than what it was in 23. They didn't make it as complicated as they needed to do like they did in 2023. You know, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. It's what they did in 2024. Man, it's the best Ferrari team that I have seen in the last at least three seasons. The trajectory of this team under Fred Vasseur it's unchartable. They can literally go wherever they want. And in my opinion, especially seeing from what they did in 24, they're on the upward trajectory, even with the new guidelines coming in for 26, all the new regulations, Ferrari is still going to be in that conversation. Top three teams, in my opinion. I mean, that's pretty much how you summarize 24 for them. It was nothing but opportunities that were not missed, better communication, much better strategy, and they are now officially a force to be reckoned with yet again. I mean, they're only 14 points off from finishing first in the 24 season for the Constructors' Championships. There is no negative that you can possibly put on their season. Maybe not getting points at all in Canada. In Montreal was the turning point of where they would not. That was where they lost the championship, but they don't know it by then. They don't know it by Montreal. That's in June. There's so much more racing to go with. But when you look back on their season as a collective, when the team goes back to look at it, when the drivers go back to look at it, there's not exactly a whole lot of stuff that they can look at and go, oof, we should have done this a lot better. 2025 outlook, Carlos Sainz is gone. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton is in. I think it's going to be a much smoother transition than what most people are anticipating. The Tifosi in Italy, the Ferrari lovers, they are non-forgiving. If you perform, they love you. If you don't perform, if you have a hiccup, they are definitely, definitely going to let you know. He is not the golden boy going into Ferrari. He is a new driver, and the critics and some of the fans have definitely made that worthwhile. They've made it very, very known. You may be a 7-time world champion, but that was with Mercedes. You are officially in Ferrari now. There's so much more history that you need to live up to, and they expect him to perform right out of the gate, first race of 25 until he leaves whenever his contract's up. This also just in, they've got a brand new reserve driver. Zhou Guan Yu went from not having anything to do in the 25-26 season to all of a sudden he is the reserve driver for Ferrari for at least 25 and 26. They've got a stacked team. Leclerc, Hamilton, and Zhou Guan Yu. I mean, there's not a whole lot of stuff that this team is going to do wrong in this upcoming season. They just need to not overthink it. Even though Hamilton's in, you tweak the car to Hamilton's liking to a certain degree, but also remember the direction that you were headed at the end of 24 into 25. You were right there. The car development, the aerodynamic development was on point, and it's in the right direction. Don't overthink it. Don't develop yourself out of a really good start to what's going to be another very long and very interesting 2025 season. And now we've reached it, the very number one team in the 2024 Constructors' Championship, McLaren. Drivers, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri. And if you are superstitious like me, this point count, I really hope, does not dictate what the 2025 season is going to be like. But the point total for McLaren is 666 at the end of the 2024 season. Only two races where both drivers did not score. Again, very, very, very consistent from this team. They had the proper development. We figured out that this team officially can, I mean, they can be a team where they can work well together. They're going to make people question some strategies sometimes, but this season showed that 3 years of hard work and development have officially paid off. You've got two really good drivers that everybody thinks now are officially your teammates. There were two examples where they needed to switch positions. Both of them waited a little longer than what their strategists would have liked. But at the same time, they still played the strategy game. They still both understood that, hey, we need each other for this to work, not just in the 24 season, but 25, 26, 27, until somebody leaves. They need to be good teammates. At least that's the ground where they are on right now. Were there any setbacks for them in 25 or 24? Not really. It was nothing but a positive season. It was the Cinderella story finally come to fruition for McLaren. Like I said, 3 years of development, 3 years of patience, 3 years of putting your pieces where they needed to be finally paid off for them. Their 2025 outlook, there's a couple of questions for the 2025s though. So they spent 3 years getting to where they need to be. Was this or is this a one and done? Is the car development looking up for 2025 in the direction that they ended 24? Yeah, absolutely. They were demolishing the competition. They were leaving Red Bull and Ferrari in the dust, 100%, no question about it. Is this trajectory going to stay the same in 25, leading into the new rules and regulations in 26, where it all gets erased? Have they overthought what they've done? Or what's even worse, have they done not enough, thinking that they're still that far ahead of them that the rest of the cars will not be able to keep up with them at the beginning of the season? The last thing McLaren wants to do, in my opinion, is do nothing. You tweak a couple small things here and there, maybe you do a little flexi wing adjustment, and that's all you do. Definitely the wrong kind of mental thinking that you need to do. You beat Red Bull, congratulations. It's not going to be this easy in 25. You beat Ferrari just barely, and they did not screw up at all this year, just like you guys did. They both had one race where they didn't score, and it just barely squeaked by because of the long-lasting tradition of development in Ferrari. What can McLaren do for the 2025 season? Take a breath, calm down, recenter. Look what you did very well in 24, what you need to do in 25 for the possible development from the other vehicles. Don't forget, you also have the livery developments that have to come along too before the season actually starts. You get to see some of the new cars, you get to see some of the new developments that you may or may not see from the other teams. You don't want to leave it to guesswork. You want to stick on the development plan that you have, and you know that Zach Brown had more of a three-year development plan than what we think. You know he's got a development plan all the way up until 2026, and it's going to be fantastic. Stick to the basics. Stick to what you know. You guys will be just fine in 25. And there you go, folks. That is the second half of the year in review for the 2024 season. I had mentioned some of the liveries were jumping right into 2025. I didn't want to leave too much of a gap. Let's get right into it. Williams will be revealing their car on February 14th. Haas on the 16th. So there's a massive, we'll call it car show, on February 18th from the O2 Center at Twickenham in England. It is a livery release only. So instead of each car or each team being like, hey, this is what the new color scheme will look like, what they decided to do is they're going to do a live event at Twickenham at the O2 Center, and you're just going to see, from what they've told us now, you're only going to see new color schemes, new paint patterns, new logos, whatever the case may be. It's just going to be the stickers and show, not necessarily a lot of development on the cars. Now, we may see some cars come out with a few pieces here and there, but I wouldn't really hold your breath. Is this an event that you absolutely have to see? I'm going to say not really. We're not expecting a massive amount of surprises or really big reveals. But if you like the show, if you like the lights, definitely not. It's definitely something not to miss. Ferrari, they're revealing their car on the 19th of February. Aston Martin on the 23rd of February. And that's all that's been released as of right now. First weekend is not until March 16th, I do believe. So there is still quite a few times for other cars to be, here's what we've got in development. And realistically, from what we've seen in the last couple of years, it's not really a whole lot of stuff you're going to see anyways. Like, you might see a thing here or there, or if they've got a new piece on like Red Bull, they're going to have the lighting just right where it casts so much shadow you're not going to be able to see, or you're going to have the important people standing in front of the car and you can't really see it. They're just going to talk about what they're looking forward to in the 2025 season. Moving forward, you will no longer see Rolex as the official timekeeper of Formula One. Tag Heuer has announced they are taking over the duties, I guess. First appearance in 1969. I mean, it's all marketing at this point. Whether you like Rolex or you like Tag Heuer, like it doesn't, it's not going to affect the race. Just you're not going to see Rolex plastered everywhere for the 2025 and 2026 season anymore. It's going to be Tag. And the last piece of Hot Topic news for everybody out there, and I think is the most important part. Esteban Ocon has a brand new race engineer. She is the very first female race engineer in Formula One history. She will be working with Esteban Ocon and Haas. Her name is Laura Mueller. I really hope I say that name correctly. Fantastic step. Now, I have read some pieces that it's just a publicity stunt, that she doesn't really know what she's doing. Realistically, I don't give a shit. It's nice to see women, more women in Formula One. I want to see, again, I've said this a couple times, I want to see F1 Academy and F1 come together. I want to see mixed racing. Give them the same cars, the same sponsorship. I don't give a shit. Just be happy for them. They got this job. Apparently, Esteban has known her for a couple of years. They've worked together in the lower rankings, like F2, F3, karting, that kind of stuff. So their history goes back a little bit further than just Formula One starting next season. But yeah, first female race engineer for Haas in 2025. Congratulations, Laura Mueller. Well, that's it, folks. That is the Hot Topics. That is everything you guys need to know in the world of Formula One. I will be doing shorter episodes as soon as I find out things that have actually happened or that actually will happen in Formula One for you. We're kind of getting into the silly season, preseason as well. There's a lot of things that just kind of float around the internet, which just, they don't make any sense. There's no point in telling you guys. So there might be a couple more short episodes before the liveries start taking place on February 14th. They could be 5 or 10 minutes. Just, hey, this is when this other car is coming out. This is when this car is coming out. Yeah. So just keep an eye out or an ear out for that, I should say. And as always, I would like to thank everybody out there for listening to F101. If it wasn't for you guys, I would not be able to do this. This is my passion. This is my joy. And I hope you guys enjoy the episode. So until then, keep the revs revving and the tires burning. And we'll talk to you next time on the next episode of F101.